We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM here in Cocoa, Florida. This is Bob Arthurs, and you're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. We are here Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning and 5 o'clock of an evening right here on WMIE. And then we are also available on WWBC 1510 AM and the corresponding frequencies to both of these programs. There's some different, what are those frequencies throughout the county where reception is a little bit better. But WWBC, we're on at 1030 AM and the station is 1510 on the AM dial. So we do want to thank you for tuning in today. We want to invite you to our vintage service tomorrow, at 11 a.m. today. Be praying for us, if you would. I'll be going to a meeting here later today, enjoying the fellowship of other men and women of God up in the Flagler County area. We're going to be having a great time praising and worshiping the Lord, as well as ministry of the Word. And so we are very excited about that. So tomorrow at 11 a.m., though, is the vintage service, and we would love to have you come out and be a part of that. Also, tonight at our fellowship hall is Advanced Christian Training School. It is a free video Bible school that is available. They meet from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and if you've got any questions, you could reach Ted or Linda Emsom at 633-0432. That is 633-0432. And I've had a lot of positive feedback on the courses that have been taking place there. We have a number of folks from our church who are attending that and are quite thankful for those courses being offered. So today we're going to be back in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Back into 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to begin reading in verse number 11. It says, "Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel." Okay? And so that's the part I want to start off talking about here today. And that is, we need to be zealous for the spiritual gifts. So we shouldn't be passive about them. We should desire them. We should desire them earnestly. We should want everything that God has for us. And Paul goes on and he writes here in verse number 12, that the desire, the greatest desire that we should be longing for, is for gifts that will lead to the edification of the church. And he said, that you seek to excel. Let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Now, I'm going to get on just a little bit of a soapbox here for just a few minutes, and that is this. We want to build up the church. We want to build up not just the organization, but the individual people in the church. And so we have a men's dinner that is going to be coming up on March the 26th. That's a Thursday night. We've done dinners and we've done breakfast, and we're kind of weighing out to see which one has the better response, because that's what we had kind of like to do. And so right now, the dinners are proving better attended than the men's breakfasts are. And so we're in the process of you know, we're going to have a dinner this time and see how that turns out. I believe I am probably putting some meat in my smoker that night, and I'm not going to tell you what it's going to be, but it's going to be good. You'll want to be there for that if you're a guy. And one of our men is going to be sharing from the Word. And, you know, I'm just so thankful for the people that God has been bringing in to the church. So we are here to build up the men and the women. And by the way, I'll just say this. Men are under such an assault in our current society. Men, we need to be built up. We want to build you up. We don't just want to pump you up and then send you back out and slowly leak out, you know, over the next period of days. We want to build you up spiritually so that you can be that man of valor that God created you to be. And we believe in men. I'm thankful for the testimonies. I mean, we have a number of men who have just powerful stories of what God has done in their life. And so we want to build you up. Ladies, we value you. I believe that you all are treasures. And by the way, I think on yesterday's broadcast was when I was talking about languages. You all is very normal from where I come from. Use is what a dialect that my wife came from, and then use guys would be from New York City, and all of them basically mean the same thing. So that's just kind of one more little point from yesterday's lesson that I'll pass along to you. But we want to build up every person. We want to build up boys and girls to be young men and young women of virtue and valor, that they would make a difference in their community. So let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So here's my little spiel for this Tuesday. Are we really striving to excel in the ministry that God has given to us? One of my favorite Old Testament characters, men, is Daniel. And the reason is because Daniel was known for having a spirit of excellence. That is what it says in the NIV, a spirit of excellence. John Bevere, when he teaches on this, he calls it an extraordinary spirit. But I like that Daniel functioned with a spirit of excellence. Now there are some people who think that if it can't be done with excellence, then it shouldn't be done. Now, I have a different take on that, and that is this. I believe that it should be done to the best of our ability, and that we should be constantly striving to improve our ability and allow God to improve our capability so that we can do the work of the ministry even better. Here is where I believe there is a bit of a disconnect, and that is that there are some people who just feel like their spiritual life is that the leftovers and the dregs of their life are all that's necessary, that, you know, the leftovers and the scraps, that God should be happy with that. Well, listen, when he sent his son to the cross to die for you and me, he didn't send an angel to do that. He sent his son. He sent heaven's best gift. And if God believes in you to such an extent that he sent his very best to redeem you and to redeem me from our sins so that we could be with him, how much more deserving of our very best is God deserving of? He deserves excellence. So I want to encourage you to not just offer God your leftovers, but instead to offer him your best. Now, here's one of the points where we also get into trouble. We start comparing what we can do with what others can do. We start comparing our gifts with their gifts, And that is always a bad fit. Listen, my responsibility, my privilege is to do what God has called me to do to the best of my ability. I told God a long time ago, I was the pastor of the church, and I said this, God, we will do whatever you ask us to do, but you have got to provide the personnel and you have got to provide the resources. If you will provide the personnel and the resources, we will step out and obey. It doesn't matter what it's been, whether it was doing sidewalk Sunday schools, whether it was distributing groceries, whatever it might have been, we were willing to step out and do it as God provided. And so we don't, our missions program is not the leftovers. It is our best. It is our best. We tell missionaries that come through, and we're very thankful for the number of missionaries that we have already been able to support. We tell them, look, we understand the situation that you are in. We are doing our best. We are doing our best. And so that's where we are. So I want to challenge you to not compare yourself with other people. Listen, as the pastor of Merit Assembly of God for the past 22 years, I will tell you this. If I was constantly comparing myself with other pastors, other ministers, other churches, I would have been so depressed, I would have quit the ministry years and years and years ago. But you see, God didn't call me to those other places. He called me to Merit Assembly of God. And so we are making the most out of the situation and the circumstances and the environment that we have in Merritt Island that we can possibly make out of it. Are there churches bigger than we are? Absolutely. And I thank God for them. Are there churches smaller than we are? Absolutely. And I thank God for them. Because I know for a fact that there are people in the ministry today that are in the ministry because they gave their heart to the Lord at Merit Assembly of God. There is a phenomenal children's minister. He is not in the Assemblies of God, but he is here in Brevard County. And he's told me, he said, I gave my heart to Jesus at Merit Assembly of God. And I know other people, there's a person, again, not in the Assemblies of God, but they are pursuing their doctorate degree right now in ministry, and they were part of Merit Assembly of God. So we don't compare ourselves to other people. I hear their testimonies, and I thank God for them. I thank God for the sphere of influence that they've given to them, but I'm not comparing myself by them. Let me tell you what we have done, and that is, because we're talking about edifying the church, there was a time when we were in need of a drummer. We had had a young man, would have been early teens, not even sure he would have been in high school yet, and he wanted to learn how to play the drums, and so we had a set of electronic drums that we had at that point in time. And what we did is we brought him up and he learned to play the drums on our worship team. And he was up there, his timing was off, but he was doing the best that he could at that point in time. And you know what we did? We didn't discourage him at all. We said, thank you so much. And what we did is when he was up there and he was playing all that time while he was adjusting and learning, we had the volume completely turned down on those drums. But I want you to know that that young man developed into a phenomenal drummer. Phenomenal drummer. And we didn't have to turn the volume down anymore because he was so bad. We were very, very blessed to have him playing that instrument. That's what God wants from you and from me. And that is, if you will make yourself available, he will make you capable and then we can begin to function on excelling. And wouldn't it be awesome if the church was known as a place of excellence for building and developing the gifts that God has placed inside of? I worked at a church here in Brevard County, and I honestly believe that the pastor that I worked for, that his gifting was allowing young ministers to develop their gifts into pastors. So I'm very, very, very thankful for that. Let's move on. I don't want to keep harping on the same thing. Therefore, verse 13, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. And so what Paul is saying is that there are things in the church that are taking place that are fine, well, and good, but people aren't being edified as a result of that. And so he talks about the things that are taking place in the spirit and the things that take place with the understanding. And he doesn't say that I set one aside and ignore it and participate in the other. He says, I do both of them. What is the conclusion? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will exercise the gifts of the spirit that I've been given, but I will also pray with understanding because I want other people to be edified. I am going to sing in the spirit. You talk about something that makes people nervous. That tends to make people nervous. You know why? Because it's beyond our control. We are a very controlling society. Very controlling society. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Again, it's not either or. It is a both of them. Do both of them. So, in fact, I was thinking about this chapter the other day, and I was thinking, man, this is where chapter 13 is the chapter on love and Hebrews 11 is the chapter on faith. I believe that this is the chapter on edification, building each other up. Listen, verse number 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. And so that he says, I'm not telling you not to do it. Instead, I count it a blessing that I pray in tongues more than you all. I speak with tongues more than you all. And so I'm very thankful that God has that gift for us. Verse number 22 says, therefore, signs are for a sign not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. God wants to demonstrate not only through natural means, but through supernatural means. He has a message that he wants to communicate to believers, and he has a message that he wants to communicate to unbelievers. Let me ask you this question. Are our churches a place where unbelievers can come in and hear from God? Are they places where unbelievers know if I come in there, I am going to meet Jesus? I'm going to have a God encounter inside that sanctuary. They really should be. Verse number 26. How is it then, brethren, when each of you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. I'm just going to touch on this verse and one other verse, and then we're going to finish up on 1 Corinthians chapter 14 today. It says, whenever people come together, there's somebody that's got a psalm, somebody's got a teaching, somebody's got a tongue, somebody has a revelation, somebody has an interpretation. There's a lot of different things that are taking place in a church. You know, I was in a meeting. It was a large meeting, several thousand people, and Rick Warren was the speaker. And Rick Warren said, listen, we don't need Pentecostal churches to stop being Pentecostal churches. All we need is for you to explain to believers or to unbelievers, explain what is going on in a service, because if we understand what is going on, even if we don't, you know, have full awareness, we'll say, oh, that's what that is. And as like, you know, so many churches are trying to suppress the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. And here is one of these leading voices in America, and he's not Pentecostal to my knowledge. And he says, we just need you to explain what's going on. Don't stop what you're doing. And so he says, let everything that is done in the church be for edification. And again, that's what we've been talking about, is transforming sinkholes or, you know, black holes or, you know, people that are collapsing in on themselves, that the void is getting larger, it's not getting smaller. He said, let everything be done for edification. As a pastor, everything that I do should be to edify somebody. It shouldn't be to make me feel good. It should not be to get somebody to come up and pat me on the back and say, Pastor, that was a great sermon, or anything like that. But I'm looking to edify people spiritually, relationally. We're looking to restore value to people relationally and spiritually. That is our mission statement at Merit Assembly of God. We want to build people up. We are looking for everything in our services to be done in a manner that edifies people unto their God-called potential. So just focus on that. Let all things be done for edification. You got that? Let all things be done for edification. Now drop down to verse number 40, and you are going to see this statement here. Let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. So all things, there are two different statements there that Paul makes, and he says everything in the church should be done in these three manners. It should be done with the motivation of edification. It should be done in the process of being decent, and it should be done in an orderly manner. Let all things be done decently and in order and for edification. So we've spent a lot of time talking about the edifying part. Let's talk about the presentation. And that is, it should be done as if it's being done for the glory of God. Let all things be done decently. And then he goes on and says, in order. If you were to look at the previous verses, there was a lot of chaos that was going on in the services there in Corinth. I'm not going to take the time to describe it, but while one person was doing one thing, there was somebody else over here saying something else, and there was another thing. There were a whole lot of distractions that were going on, to the point that people were being deprived of the opportunity to hear the life-changing word of God. And so he says here, let all things be done decently and in order. Did you know that God has an order for things in your life? And because we are living in such a fast-paced society, we tend to forget about the order of things. And sometimes if you get the order wrong, you're not going to get the same result. I remember watching a movie. I can't tell you which movie it was right now. For some reason, I'm thinking Apollo 13. And again, it's been a long time. And they had an astronaut that did not get to go up, who was supposed to go up. And so he got left behind. And what his job, when there was that crisis that was taking place on that spaceship, is to find the right order where the electrical grid would not be overpowered and they could get those astronauts back home safely. He had to find the right order. And so everything that they did was making sure that it was, and if they did it in the wrong order, it tripped the fuse or whatever. It had to be done in just the right sequence. Well, how much more do you think that God has a sequence for your life? Don't rush the order. There is a term, and it sounds, I'll give you the order, the common way of understanding. The term itself is inordinate affection. Inordinate affection. The way of saying that is it is an affection that is out of order. It may even be something that would fit in later, but if it's out of order, it's not in the right place. And so I would just like to ask you that as God is directing you to do everything in your life in a manner that edifies you and edifies other people, let him also show you the process, because there is a right way to do things. Do it according to the Word of God and do it in the order that God tells you to. You don't want to get things out of order. I might as well just go ahead and say this. You don't want to get your sex life out of order with God. You want to wait until he orders your step and places you in the covenant of marriage between one man and one woman, and then it is in order, and then it works. It is a blessing from God. Don't get your finances out of order. Put God first in your finances. Allow him to keep that high place. He says the tithe is mine. It is holy. I don't want to touch anything that belongs to God. I don't want to mess with that. I want to keep my hands clean of anything that belongs to God. I want God's things to stay God's things. I want my life to be done in order. So can I just throw it out there for you on Tuesday? I don't know what areas you might be having in your life, but here's what Paul told the church at Corinth. Let all things be done for edification, and let all things be done decently, and let them be done in order. Father, I just want to thank you for the people who are listening today. God, I know this. You draw those that they have a message that they need to hear. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here today that this message is for, I pray that you would help them to put things in your order that you have for them, and that you would be exalted in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day. We are going to see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.